Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
On today's episode, episode number 58, entitled Overcoming Panic and Anxiety, we chat with panic and anxiety coach Kelly Walker.
All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is Kelly Walker from PanicAndAnxiety.com. What's up, Kelly? How you doing?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good. I just got home from running a few errands. Been a busy guy all morning running around, but finally get to have a chat with you, so I'm pretty excited.
Awesome. Where are you in the States?
I'm in Boston.
Oh, okay. Well, you're only an hour from me. I'm in New Hampshire, Seacoast.
Oh, no kidding. Nice.
We could be probably doing this live today if we wanted
actually,
to.
That probably would have been a better idea. I didn't even know.
Me neither.
That's cool. Awesome. Yeah, I'm going to New Hampshire, I think, in mid-January for some skiing and, well, I don't ski, but skiing and snowboarding.
Well, so, if the snow ever comes.
Yeah, I know, right? So, yeah, I'm excited about that. But today, yeah, I wanted to talk about, obviously, panic and anxiety. It's been, near and dear topic for me over the years. I've battled with it for a long portion of my life, back when I was 17, 18 years old. Managed to get a hold of it and really kind of stop it in its tracks, but it took me a while to really figure out, you know, how to actually do it. But I wanted to bring you on the show because you have, you know, your whole website. I know you did a podcast before, but you're doing the website now. You do a lot of coaching in this field, and you've mastered it on how to really get a hold of anxiety and panic issues. And how did you get into that? Let's start with that first.
Yeah, it's really same as you, really near and dear to my heart, really personal experience, because I've struggled with a few forms of anxiety since the time I was, I don't know, like 10 years old, pretty young, and experienced panic attacks, a little bit of OCD, some generalized anxiety disorder. You know, I kind of morphed and shifted throughout the years and took on different disguises. But it wasn't until it really hit me hard and started limiting my life and kind of limiting my comfort zone that I made it, you know, the utmost priority to really understand it so that I wasn't getting caught up by it anymore.
And was there like a turning point for you where you said like, enough's enough, like I really have to get a hold of this and take care of it?
Yeah. Honestly, it was when my comfort zone like shrunk to my house. You know, it was like I went from traveling the world. I mean, I studied abroad in Kenya and went to Peru and all these really awesome places. And when your comfort zone is no bigger than your house, it's kind of like a smack in the face, like this is not working.
So you developed like, what's the word, agoraphobia by then?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Panic disorder with agoraphobia was what kind of had me stuck in the house. I was just walking to the bottom of my driveway, I'd start to like get that panic attack. As soon as I got within like 10 feet outside my radius around my house, I'd start to panic. Yeah.
And what was there like something triggering the panic, or was it just all sorts of random things that could like cause it?
Yeah. You know how I like to describe it is, it's kind of like when you run a car into the ground, when you don't like get the oil changed or the air filter changed or, you know, get it checked out once a year. Eventually you run it into the ground and then we're like, well, what the heck? My car's only a few years old. Why did it run into the ground? And it's like, well, duh, we weren't, you know, taking care of it in a really sustainable way. And I know that was the case with me. I was just kind of doing what I call living anxiously, like innocently and unknowingly, engaging in a lot of habits that just weren't sustainable. You know, they kind of had an end point and my body was finally like, that's enough. No more, please.
So walk me through the day or maybe like the moment when you kind of realized that like, or when you figured out, I should say, like how to actually start dealing with this thing, how to really get over it and conquer some of these anxious feelings and panic attacks that you were getting.
Yeah. So, I mean, the way I approached it initially, which it was the best I knew how to do to my knowledge. I was really like trying to fight the panic attacks and man up and push through and like, just sheer force. And I was getting worse and worse. And finally, it's like clear as day. I remember like sitting up in bed, and I was scared to get out of bed. I was like, oh my God, for those of your audience that have had a panic attack, it feels like you're dying. You kind of mistake it for, it feels like you're dying. And I remember in that moment, I'm like, oh, I don't even want to get out of bed. What's the, it was kind of like sheer and utter surrender. I was like, what's the point? Like, if I drop dead, fine. Like, I'm tired of like, melting into my bed. Me and my bed are going to be the same object in a few weeks if this keeps up. So it was like this moment where I kind of realized, all right, force and fighting and pushing through are no longer working. It's taking something a little bit more passive than that. Something like surrendering and making a little bit of room for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you mentioned, that's a great point as far as like a lot of people that get panic attacks, they want to just give up. Like what they think, what's the point of living? Like everything's just miserable all the time. I'm always anxious. I'm always afraid. I have all these fears going on. And then that's why it goes hand in hand with depression. And a lot of people actually who can't figure it out or get to that point, like their breaking point, they feel like they're hopeless, and sometimes it leads to even suicide in some cases, if it's unchecked or taken care of for a long period of time. But is there sort of like a technique or system that you kind of have down now for dealing with this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I was the queen of spend money on this program, these tricks, these tips, these supplements, these some weird herb from middle of rural China or whatever. Like I really tried it all. And honestly, what has worked best for me and my clients is just understanding what anxiety is. So much of it is an innocent misunderstanding. It looks like it's the problem. It looks like this big, bad, scary monster. And it's more a symptom, like panic attacks, anxiety. It's more a symptom, not really the problem. Mm-hmm. And it's more understanding, okay, like, where is this coming from? And a lot of it is just innocent. Again, it's so innocent. It's like an innocent misunderstanding. We get caught up in our fearful thinking. We become anxious because we trust that apprehensive and fearful thinking as truth. We just don't get a chance to see it for what it really is. That's all. We mistake it.
Mm-hmm. So is it a case of just figuring out why you're getting the attacks and then kind of realizing that you have control either way of how you perceive it maybe?
Yeah. So honestly, it's just starting. I mean, I can tell you even having panic attacks day in and day out, eventually it gets old. Your body kind of gets desensitized to it. Mm-hmm. And you just naturally are like, I know what this is. I know what's going on here. And it gives you a little bit of space and altitude to really see how fear works. It's kind of like you walk into your house or your apartment and you see this shadow. And for a split second, you're like, oh God, there's somebody in my house. Like there's somebody robbing me. I'm getting burglarized. Oh no, call 911. And within 5 seconds later, you see that shadow was like your coat hanging up. And that's the idea with anxiety. It's just seeing that anxiety, it's not a burglar. It's a coat hanging up in the dark. It's a shadow that was mistaken for something more sinister. So that's kind of what I do with my clients or like on my website is write a lot about fear. Because once you know it's fear, anxiety is just utterly powerless. Once you see it for what it is, it's kind of like, oh, it's just a coat, it's just a coat hanging up and it doesn't have the same power anymore.
Yeah, I tell my clients a lot of this stuff too. It's as far as it's really how you look at it. Like you get nervous throughout the day, you get anxious throughout the day. In just everyday situations, it's a natural feeling that we all get. It can be a good thing in a lot of ways. And it's a natural defense mechanism. That's like why we have that feeling. But it's really how you look at it. It's not like if you think about it as, oh man, I'm getting anxious or I'm getting fearful or I'm getting these terror feelings or thoughts in my head, then it can take you down a path where you don't want to go. But say you're giving a presentation, a speech, if you're performing somewhere, or if you're on a first date, or any of those things where there's supposed to be some anxiousness, there's supposed to be some anxiety. If you don't have those things, you don't perform as well. You know, you don't get, you're dull, you're boring, you're dull. You don't get into the moment. But if you look at it, instead of say anxiety or anxiousness, you look at it as excitement, that perception of it right there changes how you look at it and how you start to feel.
Yeah. I mean, I love that point. There's so many times in life where we make room for kind of that anxious feeling, like on a first date, you know, it's like this nervous, excited. We make room for it. We don't judge it. We kind of just let it be there. But it's when we kind of judge the anxiety and we're like, this shouldn't be here. Why is this here? Oh no. What does this mean? I'm weak. We have a lot of like judgments and assumptions about what it means when it's present. And that's how it becomes like cyclical, or it becomes a habit, you know, when we experience the anxiety and then we think about what it means, what it says about us, what it says about who we are. And that's what creates the tension, the thinking about the thinking. So when we just kind of let anxiety be present, like any other emotion, it's a completely natural emotion. It's like one of the like 8 basic emotions. We all feel it throughout the day, throughout the week. It's normal. And like you say, it can be absolutely beneficial. I mean, I was like a caregiver for my mom recently, and I don't know if I would have been able to like complete the 12 to 16 hour days of like working and then going and taking care of her without a little extra stress hormones circulating through my body, you know? I needed that energy and I was grateful for it. And I think it's important to remember we do want a little bit of stress. It gets a bad rap. It has a negative connotation, but stress is just energy and there's an optimal amount to have. Too little and we're slow and sluggish and unmotivated. Too much, we might start to feel a little anxious and overwhelmed and jittery, but right smack dab in the middle, it's what keeps us motivated and functioning and like, you know, getting up every day and doing what we need to do.
Yeah, it's really about finding that balance. I found a lot of personal techniques for me, and I also teach this to a lot of the people I work with as far as like trying to find that right balance, because a lot of people are too anxious, and then a lot of people are so against having any stress or you know anything through their lives. It's good like you said to find that balance, but as far as like de-stressing and stuff, I found a lot of great things like hypnosis to be a great really effective tool for that. Visualization.
Oh, love that. That's my favorite.
Awesome. Yoga is really great for that. Even just exercising, just going to the gym. Like most people don't work out enough. You know what I mean? We sit in our cubicles, we sit sedentary, office jobs and don't get out and move around as much as we should. Just moving around, does so much for your stress levels and just for your overall health. And, those are some ways I've personally found have worked really well for me and, clients I teach.
Yeah. I love like mindfulness or visualization. There was actually a Harvard study within the last couple of months that looked at, the benefits of mindfulness meditation. I think it was like 20 minutes a day, nothing crazy, but over 8 weeks, and they were able to see physical changes in the structure of the brain. So the stress center, the gray matter in the stress center, actually started to shrink as the gray matter in the prefrontal cortex, which is just responsible for like rational thinking, emotional regulation, all the stuff that makes us feel like we're in our right mind, that gray matter actually started to increase. You know, it was cool with an MRI machine and current technology, we were able to see the effects of this mindfulness meditation. It's basically exercise for your brain. The more you use a certain area, the bigger it gets, like any other muscle in the body. And so I like to recommend like visualization, mindfulness meditation, anything where you feel completely and utterly present. Like for me, it's ultimate frisbee or cooking or mowing the lawn or reading a book or whatever. Exercise actually, you wouldn't think it because the body's like moving around, but your brain's in actually a meditative state. Your brain waves are a bit slower and more relaxed in the way that they are if you're sitting down and doing meditation. So anything that kind of, you know, reinforces being in that present moment, because the more we do that, the more natural it becomes. When we struggle with anxiety, OCD, panic attacks, that kind of stuff, we're really good at living in our head and in the future. It's just, it's our habit. It becomes the path of least resistance. Whatever we do 1,000 times becomes habit. Doesn't mean it's the most helpful habit or the right way to do things. It's just whatever we do that many times becomes habit. So, yeah, I really love visualization, mindful meditation, and it doesn't have to be formal. Again, moving around, whatever. It kind of gives us that presence of mind, and it allows us to see our thinking for what it is. Again, those fearful thoughts, those anxious thoughts, it gives us a little bit of space so we don't automatically become consumed by them and start engaging them. So often we have a worry like, what if I don't make, you know, my financial budget this week? And then we start spinning from that, you know, like we have this whole story. Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, we're like, oh, God, I'm financially destitute and homeless. Like, that's the end. And it very quickly goes from this worry to a scary story that looks kind of real in the moment. So meditation is great at kind of giving us some space there so we don't get caught in that typical trap.
Yeah. And yeah, you made some great points right there. If you let the cycle of negative thinking take over, it can almost be like a self-fulfilling prophecy that you almost put yourself in the situation where you're like thinking of all these things and predicting having anxiety and having a panic attack, and then you give yourself a panic attack, right?
Yeah. I like that. It's I use this example because a lot of people that struggle with anxiety, like we like to have control and control outcomes, and we like to micromanage the details. And for the most part, for a lot of us, life goes pretty well, you know? Yeah, there's some ups and downs, but for the most part, it's quite wonderful. Everything's okay. And, you know, we assume it's because we micromanaged or controlled the situation or did all these, you know, types of things. And we don't realize, well, it's not because we control the situation. Things are going to be okay either way, but our brain makes false associations like this all the time. Kind of like another good example is when people are stressed or anxious, they worry like, oh my God, am I going to sleep tonight? Like, oh, geez, am I going to sleep tonight? I have an important meeting tomorrow. I have a lot to do tomorrow. I can't be tired. When I'm tired, I'm anxious. And then, you know, they wake up in the middle of the night and they start thinking, what does this mean that I'm not sleeping? Uh-oh, tomorrow's going to suck. And they have a whole lot of like predictions. Innocent. It's not like we're doing this on purpose. Yeah. You know, it's innocent. We don't realize that we're worrying. We think we just know what's going to happen. We think we're little fortune tellers. And then, you know, when we're inevitably anxious the next day after not sleeping, we're like, see, I was right. It's because I didn't sleep. And man, it makes me so anxious and I knew it. And it creates this like false belief when really the only reason we didn't sleep is because we created so much tension and energy from thinking about what it means that we weren't sleeping. So, you know, it's a lot of like false beliefs and false connections. Like Pavlov's dog. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of that. The dog that, became conditioned to salivate whenever he heard a bell because, mm-hmm. Every time he heard the bell, he got fed. So this dog was like, yep, bell causes the food. Bell equals food. And really, the bell has nothing to do with the food. A bell does not cause food, but it just happened enough times where the dog associated it. It was more like correlated rather than causative.
All right, guys, I think it's the perfect time to take a quick break from the episode to remind you to subscribe to our show. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting episodes. Subscribe now and get all of the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. Okay, guys, back to the episode now.
What are your best kind of tips right now for anyone listening who may have an anxiety problem or maybe even a panic attack problem and they don't know like what the first step is? Like what's the next thing that they should do? Someone listening who doesn't know which direction to kind of head. What do you recommend?
Yeah, it's tough. It's kind of bewildering because, you know, obviously going to your doctor, talking to a professional, whether it's a coach or a therapist or whatever, sometimes it can be hit or miss if you're talking to somebody that doesn't quite get it. Like I've had a few bad experiences with doctors, but I also found a really awesome nurse practitioner that kind of knew what was going on and can point me in the right direction. So just somebody that has experience with it, whether, you know, personally or professionally. I think so much of anxiety is like, it's this big, scary looking monster. There's a lot that's unknown about it. So educating yourself to the best of your ability. There's some great resources out there. For panic attacks, one that's really great is Hope and Help for Your Nerves by Dr. Claire Weeks. It's from like the 60s, but it's still innovative even for now. So yeah, educating yourself for sure. I mean, I have a lot of free resources on my website. So, I mean, I like to think of it as an okay place to start.
Yeah, I definitely recommend educating yourself. One of the most, I think, empowering things you can do is educate yourself, no matter what field it really is, but especially with something like anxiety or panic attacks, just figuring out that, or just knowing that there is a solution or many solutions out there to this one problem. I mean, when I was getting panic attacks initially, it was like, oh my God, what's happening to me? Like you said, it was like, oh, am I going to die? Like, this is crazy. I don't know what's going on. You know, did I lose my mind? Are they going to put me in a mental institution?
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
That's like the worst one.
And yeah, it is.
It's like, because I think it's worse than almost death, because it's like that most embarrassing thing where like you can't take care of yourself and it's like other people are going to, you know, make fun of you because you have this problem or something. And it's something that actually, to me anyways, was triggering more and more panic attacks, just thinking that I was going crazy. But I think just, you know, figuring out those things and learning that this isn't as bad of an issue as you think, and that there is solutions, or there are solutions out there, and there is a way to figure it out, is probably the biggest and best realization you can come up with.
Yeah, for sure. There are so many resources out there, and just it's so cliche, but knowledge really is power. You know, mm-hmm. It's like the coat hanging in the doorway. The second you know it's just a coat, like fear is eradicated. It's gone, mm-hmm. You know, and that's the case with anxiety. It can feel so strong and so big. So it's no wonder we kind of assume, oh my God, I'm going crazy. This is the end. I'm never going to get better. But that's just a fear. It's a belief. It's not what it really looks like. Anxiety, I mean, something like 30% of the population will struggle with some form of anxiety. It's not exactly strange or, you know, weird. It's like an exaggeration of a normal response. It's no wonder it's so common.
Yeah. I mean, we all get normal responses, right? So
yeah.
Why would a huge part of the population not get or have some sort of anxiety response? What do you do with your clients? I should say, like, is there a coaching program or something that you work on with your clients, or, how do you help your clients out so that they can get over some of these issues when you do your coaching?
Yeah. So, I mean, there are some like very general foundations, because anxiety is anxiety is anxiety, but it's really customized when I work with somebody, because people are in different stages, experiencing it differently, getting caught up in different areas. So I kind of like to, you know, I'm a jack of all trades, whether it's like social anxiety or panic attacks or OCD or whatever. It's just really customized. And, you know, my approach is pretty interactive. You know, we're both, it's not like when you go to therapy and you kind of just talk the whole time. It's interactive. There's guidance, there's resources in between sessions and practice and all that sorts of fun stuff.
Is there any other tips you have for getting over a panic attack in the moment? I know you talked about just kind of the realization part of it. Is there any other techniques, like maybe breathing or something like that, that you've come across that has been really effective for you or some of your clients?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I can tell you, once I'm in the middle of a full-blown panic attack, like it's just about riding it out. They last like 10, 15 minutes at most. So they're so quick, and then your body's done. But for some people, so the trick here is like kind of catching it before it builds into a panic attack. It's about the work between the panic attacks and like cutting it off at the head or exiting the cycle before you kind of get taken for the ride round and round. But so deep belly breathing, anything that stimulates this thing called the vagus nerve. So the vagus nerve is a nerve. It runs along your entire body. It's responsible for the exact opposite of the fight or flight response. It's responsible for your relaxation response. So there's a lot of things we can do to kind of stimulate that. Deep belly breathing is one of them. Like coughing a couple times, that's another thing you can do. Using your vocal cords, like talking, humming is really the best way, but talking or singing, splashing cold water like on your wrists or your face, that's another way to stimulate this vagus nerve. And sometimes that's just enough to stop it in its tracks. And if you can kind of get up and move around and literally shake it off, like shake off the stress response, you know, dogs do this, animals do this when they're stressed, they like literally shake it off. If you can like move around just a little bit, it'll pass a bit quicker, because a panic attack is just, your body's just buzzing with energy. So anything to kind of release it will go a long way.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The vagus nerve.
Yeah. The vagus nerve.
Yeah. That's interesting. As far as being in the moment and being in the thick of it, is there anything else that you can do to kind of alleviate it? Or is it best to just sort of ride it out? I know for me, it was like more of like embracing it and actually going with the thing. Yeah, yeah.
Like, for sure. You have it spot on. Okay, like you're exactly right.
Most people try to, you know, run from it or hide from it or kind of ignore the feelings, when the thoughts and feelings when they're getting the sensations. But the thing that really helped me was actually just going with it and riding it out, and actually even at one point asking for more of it. And by doing that, you empower yourself, and it really just shuts it right off.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's about making room for it, you know, because the more we try to like fight it or run from it or avoid it, we're sending this signal to our brain like, oh my God, this is more than a discomfort. This is a danger. Look, he wants to run. He wants to get away. Uh-oh, fire, fire all cylinders, fire all alarms. So, you know, when we try to fight it or run, it's like we're trying to put out fire with fire. We're adding energy to an already really energetic state. It's just going to kind of ramp us up even more. Whereas when we make room for like the anxiety experience, we see how quickly it actually passes. So a lot of times we feel it coming, it kind of hits like a wave, and before the wave even gets a chance to crash, we do something. We run away, or we try to distract ourselves or get away from it, or we hate it, or whatever. But when we make a little bit of room for it, we see how quick that wave actually hits and then passes. And it shows us how temporary and fleeting anxiety actually is. It disguises itself as really powerful and really scary, but it's quite flimsy. You know, I mean, I'm sure you've been there where maybe you were on the verge of a panic attack, but somebody called or you got distracted by a funny video and that was the end. Like, it was gone. And it's like, anxiety is quite flimsy. If we're not staring straight at it and placing all our focus and attention, it just passes. That's where it gains its power, when we fight it and think about it and analyze it and spend a lot of time. You know, the best thing we can do is make room for it. Once that anxious state kind of passes, we'll be able to see things more clearly. You know, being in an anxious state is like being on 5 glasses of wine. We're just not going to see things clearly. We're in an altered state. So there's not a whole lot we have to do, but just make a little bit of room for it, and it'll pass so much quicker than we think. And then we'll have clarity again. It'll be clear what we need to do next.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I'm also really big on like living in the moment, sort of like Eckhart Tolle, the power of now. Just like when you're in the moment of something, that you really don't have anything going on. You're not in the past, you're not in the future, you're just in the present. And what you have in the present is just the present. Because when you have anxiety, you're often thinking of things, thoughts in the past, or you're thinking of the future and things that could go wrong. But when you actually just kind of sit back and observe your world and everything in front of you, anxiety really can't exist in that world.
Yeah, I mean, anxiety by definition is apprehension and fear about the future. It's about something that isn't happening right now. And no wonder we feel tense when we're thinking about the future. There's nothing we can do in that moment. And, you know, it doesn't exist yet. It's usually a worry or a problem that's non-existent. How are we going to, it's like trying to fight ghosts, you know, and, you know, being in the present moment, that's again why I'm mindfulness meditation or visualization or any activity that pulls you there is a powerful tool. We get better and better at living in the moment, and anxiety just doesn't exist when we're fully present. There's no room for it.
It's been a really great interview. Is there any last parting words you'd like to leave our Elite Man audience, and also a place to check you out?
Yeah. So thanks for having me on. Thanks everybody for listening to me. If you want to read more or learn more about anxiety or want some one-on-one help, www.panicandanxietycoach.com. Some great free resources there. There's a course there that's 50% off right now. And I typically offer like a free initial consultation if somebody thinks that coaching might be a good fit for them and they may want to move forward with that.
Awesome, Kelly. Again, guys, it's panicandanxietycoach.com. I think I might have got that wrong in the intro. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
But it's panicandanxietycoach.com and Kelly Walker. Kelly, thanks again for coming on. I really do appreciate it. You had some awesome, awesome tips for our guys about panic and anxiety. And I look forward to hearing from you again. So take care.
You too.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.